Hello and welcome back to another fantastic episode of the Circle in Rectangle show after what was arguably the best derby of the year. Western Sydney Wanderers coming away victors over Sydney FC at the Allianz. Sydney's new home, still haven't taken a win from it. 1 point in three attempts. It's fantastic. But a lot has come out afterwards and a lot that many people aren't happy with. Particularly Ray Hadley of 2GB, Channel 9 News, about all the violence and the villainy that comes with, you wouldn't believe it, football fans. It's the disgrace. And that's why for the first time in a long time, we are opening the show with Jamie Spray.
It's time for Jamie Spray.
Deep breaths, my friend. You are very, very angry.
I have been waiting for this show, for us to record this show, since the morning after when I saw that fucking pathetic Channel 9 news story about the derby. And then you follow it up with Matt Thompson of 2GB on his bullshit, probably not listened to at all sports program, bashing the derby. But all right, it's been a while, but I am fucking angry because every time something like this happens, when we have a massive game in this city, the Sydney Derby, as Phil Buzz Rothfield has said, it is the biggest sporting event on the Australian sports calendar, bar none. It's something that NRL could not even dream of producing the atmosphere that we experienced on Saturday night. We were both there. But for people like Channel 9 and 2GB, obviously noted rugby league news sites, right? NRL hosts the Channel 9. They ruined rugby league. And 2GB is also a broadcaster. But these people, they are so fucking scared of the rise of football in this country. We look at what the Matildas are doing, the Socceroos, the stars that we're producing going overseas, not just footballers, but managers. They see how big football can be in this country, and every chance they get, they try to tear it down. The Sydney Derby, 35,000 fucking people at that ground, not one of them didn't enjoy that atmosphere. I've spoken to probably hundreds of people who watched it on TV, were at the game, enjoyed the experience, said it is the best thing they've ever seen. We both bumped into, ironically, German tourists who were there for the game because it's football and they wanted to experience it. And let's face it, it is the biggest game in Australia. And they loved it. They loved the atmosphere. They loved the passion. They loved the game itself, although both teams kind of suck. And they came away with it, you know, with a massively strong opinion of Australian football and the rise of the game. For Matt Thompson on his terribly rated radio show, which we probably get more listeners than, to say, oh, I spoke to all these people who said they'll never go to another A-League game. It was disgusting. It was terrible. The flares and the swear words that people were saying. Because no fucker swears at a rugby league game. Are you fucking kidding me, Matt Thompson? You're a gutless wanker. You spoke to nobody. No one talks to you. No one talks to you about football. You don't know anyone who knows football. You've never been to a game in your life. If you, Ray Hadley, these wankers at Channel 9 would show up to a fucking A-League game, no matter who it's against, even MacArthur, you'd boost their fan numbers. You'd understand that the fans are just passionate. The Cove, the RBB, I fucking hate the RBB. I hate the Wanderers and everything about it. But what they brought to that game on Saturday night was amazing. They won the game. I hate it. It kills me. It haunts me inside. I hate Ninkovic. Yengi's goal, I saw it. I had the perfect angle. But what they brought to the game was amazing. The fact we walked away with a loss, we could still hold our heads high because you will never experience an atmosphere like that in an NRL game. State of origin, you don't come close. It's manufactured. A grand final against Penrith and Parramatta was about as quiet as a fucking library in Sutherland. You can't come close to what football creates at a derby like that. Even look at the original rivalry, Adelaide-Melbourne victory. The passion, the noise, the atmosphere there. Phenomenal. You will never come close to that rugby league. So every time this type of shit happens, you find the little negatives. Four arrests out of 35 fucking thousand people. Three charged. Nothing with fan violence. There was not a single bit of fan violence at that game. Because you would have seen it. Believe me, there would have been videos of it if the fans clashed. We know who we are. We're both parts of our active supports. We're passionate about our clubs. We love our clubs. We hate each other for that Saturday alone. I didn't take this guy's calls after the game because I just didn't want to hear it. If there was fan violence, like you guys claim, Channel 9, 2GB, Rugby League Mafia, the haters of football in this country, the only reason that we're still held back, you would have seen it. You would have had better footage than some cops running down the stairs and a bloody beer bottle sitting on the floor. For one, there are no beer bottles served in Allianz. It is all out of a cup. And God forbid there's a beer bottle on the ground in Sydney. Like, that doesn't fucking happen every goddamn week. I'm sick of it. We get one good thing. We get a derby. It's the first time the derby's been at Allianz. We knew it was going to be massive. It should have been a bigger crowd. Both teams kind of sucked in the lead up, so it was going to be limited in numbers. But for these idiots, these Muppets, Channel 9 have been a joke for years. 2GB, who the fuck cares about them anymore? They're just government stooges. To just come out the day after and just bash it. Oh, graffiti on the bridge that's been there for 5 years because we haven't played in Sydney for 5 years. Oh, it's the first game, the christening of the game, and there were seats ripped out by the Wanderers fans. We played Melbourne Victory in the first game. We played Adelaide 3 weeks ago. It's not the first fucking game. Get your facts right. You guys are utter garbage journos. You are fucking pathetic. Just do a better job. Actually go to a game. Experience a derby. See what it's like. See that you are safe. Families go there. I know families who go there. I have friends from work who sat on the sidelines with their kids and loved every minute of it. Loved every minute of what the Cove did. Loved every minute of what the RBB did. The TIFO from the Cove was amazing. The noise and the displays and the passion and the clapping from the RBB was phenomenal. It's unrivaled by any other sport in this country. The only sport that comes close to football in this country is AFL, and that's only on crowd numbers. The passion isn't there. Rugby league, you're a dying sport, and you are scared at what football can become because at junior level, you are dying. At junior level, football is thriving. The NRL is dying because the referees control the game. It's corrupt. It's dying because of gambling companies and the way they sort of push the game in certain directions. You are dying, and you know it. And the only way you can come close to keeping your irrelevant relic dinosaur of a sport close to any relevance is to bash football. Everything that you saw on Saturday night is why football is rising in this country. Passion, dedication, and love for these teams. I love Sydney FC more than I love most things in my life. It's my kids and then Sydney FC in that order. I know you want to say something, Nugget. I should probably stop, but fuck me.
This
Matt Thompson guy, like listening to the 4 minutes of his terrible radio show, just talking about all the people he spoke to and, oh, I'll never go to a game again. You know, they're junior footballers in this country, but bullshit. Nobody talks to you. You have no friends. You work for 2GB. No one in this city likes you. Like, it's just every time. Like, this is going to happen. Sydney FC is going to come to Parramatta, I think, late in the new year, and it's going to happen again. It's going to be an amazing event. There's going to be 3,000 of us and a massive crowd of Wanderers fans. It's going to be an amazing spectacle, atmosphere off the chains. You know, they bitch about the fully sanctioned and escorted march from the RBB from Central Station up to the ground. Oh, it was a riot blocking traffic. It was fucking approved. Just do a small little check, mate. Talk to your friends at the police force. They would have told you, yeah, no, it was all approved. It was all fine. It was all understood. We knew what was going on. There were cops there putting them through, like, it's just gutter journalism. They remove the facts from it and just take from it what they will. And it's not working because I haven't spoken to a single person who thought what that was on Saturday night was a disgrace. People who don't watch football, who I said, watch this game, you will love it, even just for the atmosphere, even if it's a nil or draw. And they came away from it saying, that was amazing. I've never seen that stadium or never heard an atmosphere like that in that stadium. Even on the TV, it was amazing, let alone being there. So for these idiots like Matt Thompson, Ray Hadley, and the Muppets at Channel 9, fuck off or go to a game and actually experience it. And then you'll get an actual perspective of what it is. You've never been to a football game in your life. You claim that, you know, football's dying. The A-League is dying because no one watches it on TV. No one watches rugby league on TV. Your numbers might be decent, but I mean, no one goes to the games. No one wants to go watch a rugby league game. And I live in Cronulla. This is a rugby league town. This is, you know, the Cronulla Sharks are the pride of this area. But I tell you what, if you gave me the choice between going to watch a Wanderers game that doesn't involve Sydney FC or a Cronulla Sharks game at Shark Park, I'm going to the Wanderers game hands down because I know the atmosphere is going to be better and football is just better. It's about time the mainstream media and the journos embrace it for what it is. There were no fan violence. There were no riots. All these buzzwords that they throw at every fucking derby. None of that happened. I was there. I was around the city the entire day. I got into the city at 12 o'clock at midday and I think I was on my last train home at about 11:45 at midnight and I did not hear an incident of violence. I saw Wanderers fans and Sydney FC fans on the trams coming home, on the trains coming home, mingling at Central Station. Not a single bit of fan violence despite the increased police presence. So to come out and lie and bullshit and badmouth the league, just fuck off. Like, go support your rugby league. It'll be dead soon and Channel 9 and 2GB will be irrelevant. I mean, just wait for a Labor government to get elected and 2GB will be irrelevant, but I just can't fucking stand these people. It's the same wankers every time. They're the first ones that if the Socceroos were to win the World Cup this year, they'd be praising football in the country and the rise and how great it is and how great the Socceroos is, but they'll bash it any chance they get because they know more people watch that game on Saturday night than the fucking Kangaroos in some bullshit Rugby League World Cup. And they know it and they know that Rugby League is dying. People throwing out 25% growth. You know how fucking massive that is? As you were saying before, Nugget, it's huge. You did not grow 25%. Your junior base is dying because no one wants to play because of how dangerous your shitty sport is. You are dying and you know it and you are scared. And this is just the best sign of how scared you are because you've ramped it up this time. Sydney Derby, all hooligans, yada, yada. You know it's dying and you're scared and it's awesome. Feed me more.
Now that is a spray and I fucking love it. What a spray that is, Jamie Brown. But you wouldn't believe it. You are 100% right. Like watching the news clip of Channel 9 News afterwards, listening to 2GB, you wouldn't believe it. We'll go back to one. Jamie, how are you? How are you now?
I'm good. It was a great game. Now? We lost, but yeah. I had an amazing night. It was awesome.
It was, to be fair, as a Wanderers fan, that night was absolute euphoric. Yeah. Like it was euphoria contained in a stadium. It was the best night, amazing atmosphere from both the Cove and the RBB. The Tifo, funny.
Uh-huh.
Our banner, also funny.
Yeah, you didn't get it right. You know, so many times I just saw new rats new, home.
That's all I nest, saw. Same rats.
Yeah, new something nest, like that. Nets rats home or something like that. I don't know.
Still funny. But the atmosphere itself, amazing. The game itself, amazing. The result for me, amazing.
Yeah. Not as much for me, but, you know.
But every time, as Jamie said, every time football in this country grows, those in the media that don't follow or don't support because they're rugby league backed, and yes, the rugby league has been around for over 100 years.
Yeah.
Fine. But you wouldn't believe it. There's a difference between rugby league and what is known as the world game. And this is the main thing that irks me every time. Currently right now is, yes, a Rugby League World Cup. How can you have a sport, have a World Cup, where seven nations play it?
Yeah, there's only
that's so American of you.
Like, I'm English and I don't even care about the Rugby League World Cup and we almost made the final.
I love cricket. Cricket is one of my favorite sports behind football. Probably my second favorite sport. I'll sit down, I'll watch test matches, I'll watch the one dayers, I'll watch T20s, not the international because they don't give a fuck. They've got a World Cup right now. Again, nine nations play it. That's not the world. In less than a week, a World Cup is starting with 32 teams, 32 nations out of a possible 198 eligible countries.
Yeah, that's a world game. That is a World Cup.
Every 4 years, because it literally takes 4 years to qualify. Every time football in this country grows, the media gets scared.
Yep.
Because they know. Everyone I've spoken to that was at the game or watched the game on TV thought it was fucking incredible.
MacArthur fans thought it was amazing.
They actually thought, oh, that's what football's meant to be like.
Oh, that's what a Sydney derby is.
A derby. I get it now. The original derby. 15,000 people at Cooper Stadium. Yeah, it's 20,000 less than what was at the Allianz. Cooper's isn't the biggest stadium. That's a sellout. Yeah. The atmosphere was amazing. And Melbourne Victory lost. What could be better?
Even better.
It fucking pains me every time. It irks me so much.
We should take it as a badge of honour because, like I said, it's because they're scared because they know what football... If the Socceroos go anywhere near the quarterfinals of this World Cup, the profile of football raises. We've got a Women's World Cup next year. We've got the best player in the world playing for that team. If they go well, football will grow and they can't stand it.
You want to know what I find really, really funny, Jamie Brown? I've seen more and heard more about how disgusting the Sydney Derby was and the violence and the riots and the crowd behavior and all that and the alcoholism. I've heard more of that after the Sydney Derby than what I heard about literal racist salutes at the FFA, the Australia Cup final.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's something we condemn. Like, that is disgusting behavior.
Yeah.
And I've heard more about this derby than I heard about that.
Where there was no racism, no homophobia, no Nazism, just passion from two terraces and the rest of the crowd. And yeah, but you'll hear more about it. I mean, we should take it as a badge of honor, man. They're scared. They know football's rising. These rugby league diehards that think that it's still the best sport in the world. It's not even a top 10 sport in the world. Like, come on. Football is the world game for a reason. And
even in this country, the largest park football, grassroots game in this country is football. You know what's number two?
Netball.
Netball. You know what's number three?
Cricket.
Hockey. Right.
Oh, hockey. Oh, yeah, yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, country towns.
You know what's number four?
I want to say cricket.
AFL. You know what's number four?
Damn it. Cricket?
Yeah!
Finally, fuck.
I'm fairly certain that equestrian is ranked higher than rugby league.
Rugby league. Wood chopping.
Wood chopping is dying.
At a junior level, rugby league is dying because, oh, shock horror, parents don't want their kids to have brain injuries when they're children. What a shock. I mean, put it this way, right? In the Sutherland Shire, we have a rule where if you live in the Shire, you can play here, but if you don't, you can't. You know why? Because we are almost at max capacity of how many people. 27,000 is the limit of players that can play in the Shire before we start running out of field space for teams. And we are very close to that limit. I think we're 25,500. So if we grow anymore, we simply have to turn people away because of how big we are.
There are 25,500 people registered to play rugby league, in the state.
Yeah, I don't know because country, but you can find out areas, right? MacArthur. You probably have close to 50,000.
MacArthur, Sutherland, and the Central Coast, and St. George.
Yeah. Three massive hotbeds would dwarf anything in this entire state when it comes to rugby league. And it's great because, I mean, everything that they say in these news stories and these reports, you can rebuff. Matt Thompson having people that he talks to and friends, that's obviously a lie. The police riots, you know, that TikTok we both watched, it was just police running down the stairs.
I can't remember who originally posted it, but we'll share it on our TikTok and give him credit because he deserves it. He absolutely shredded the Nine News report.
It was beautiful.
Lovely to watch. He's right. Beer on the ground after a game. Oh, my God.
Ooh.
In Sydney, one of the filthiest cities in the world.
Yeah. The most populated disgusting city in people. Australia. Yeah. Yeah, but we're trash.
Even as Jamie said, like the news report showed a picked up image of a glass bottle of Peroni on the grass. Peroni's not available at Allianz Stadium, let alone a glass bottle.
Yep. I don't know many football fans that would drink.
Did they
Peroni
just get
either?
The stock image?
It's Italian. Literally, right? I wonder if I Google right now beer bottle on floor, if that's the first thing that pops up, right?
Because if it is. Pathetic. And I studied journalism. Not well, but I did it.
I tried.
Pathetic. Even though I'm upset, but I think our rants are over. It just angers me so much because, as I said, in less than a week, there is a World Cup. Every news representative in Australia should be hyping up the fact that our national team is in a World Cup for the fifth consecutive time. Before 2005, before 2006, we had made one in 40 years.
Yeah. 1974.
Now we are on the five in a row. Outstanding.
You know what I'm going to do, but when the rugby league season starts and there's a game at Allianz Stadium, I'm going to take a train trip into Sydney and I bet you after a Roosters game, I'll be able to take 1,000 photos of VB bottles strewn across that field and that bridge.
You want to know what made this game? You want to know what made this game so much better? I mean, for you, it wasn't that great. Was once an icon at Sydney FC, now dubbed traitor, Milos Ninkovic, now playing for the Western Sydney Wanderers. Jumping ship. He has literally crossed the river, crossed the town, gone to the bitter rivals of Sydney FC. You don't do it. You don't go to Western Sydney. You don't go to Melbourne. That's the table.
That's the rules. For both clubs, your players or ours.
Latrell Mitchell played for the Sydney Roosters. Their arch rivals are now his current team. He went straight from the Roosters to his arch rivals, the South Sydney Rabbitohs. No one gives a fuck.
Nah.
No one cares.
Nah.
You would never get that atmosphere. That rivalry has gone on for over 100 years.
Yeah. Ours is 12 years old. 12, 13, maybe?
This is our 11th season.
There you go. 11 years old. And it's still more passionate about one player who played for us for 5 years.
7 years.
Going to you. So yeah, five trophies. So yeah, my bad.
Five trophies, 7 years.
Then this so-called superstar of rugby league. And, you know, they call him one of the best in the league. His profile is lower than what Ninkovic's was the last couple of weeks. Ninkovic would have been trending.
The hype for this game and just the fact that Milos Ninkovic had jumped ship.
Mm-hmm.
doesn't even come close. Like, the build-up for this game is more than what they get at the Grand Final or State of Origin, the two biggest events in the rugby league calendar.
Yep. You know what? You know what Roosters fans do when Latrell Mitchell touches the ball? Boo. You know what we fucking do? We have a TIFO display. We burn his jersey, which we'll get into later.
I have an excellent rebuttal for that burning as well, but we get into that later.
It's just, it doesn't compare, and the rugby league journos are scared. And I just want to say one other thing before we move on to the results and actually start the show.
Actually start a podcast. We're 20 minutes in. Jesus Christ.
MacArthur, that's what a fucking Sydney derby looks like. Wanderers had, 3,000, 4,000, 5,000 people at Sydney FC for that game? You couldn't even get that to your home game against Sydney FC.
The entire bay behind the goals on the ground level was completely full. And I'd say pretty close to 4/5 of the bay, like the section above us, was also full. And then we also went around the corners. The first bay either corner was also Western Sydney Wanderers fans.
So MacArthur, if you want to call what happened 2 weeks ago a Sydney derby, you can shove it up your fucking ass.
There was more people.
Is what a Sydney derby looks like.
There was more people on the train ride in from Parramatta to Allianz than there was at the fucking Sydney Inconvenience.
Yeah. It's, don't even come close to trying to pretend you're relevant in this state.
You will get there one day. You will get there one day. I have my hopes because we need it to. But as Jamie said, we're now 20 minutes into a show. Yeah, we should probably get into everything else about this weekend of A-League action. And it is actually time for the results.
The results are in.
Oh, what a start to the show, Jamie Brown. But maybe we should get into what we actually do on this show. And we talk about the round that was of the A-League men's round 6. And it is now also the World Cup break. So we won't be getting A-League men's action for at least another month.
Yep,
so the last round of fixtures, we only had 5 games. One match was postponed, Perth Glory and Brisbane Roar, because that game was meant to be in Perth, but I don't believe that ground is yet to go ahead.
Should be by the time we come back, but not this
week. But Jamie Brown, let's lead off with some results.
So it kicked off, as we mentioned a little bit in the rant, Adelaide at home, Cooper Stadium to Melbourne Victory in the original rivalry, the probably fourth biggest derby in the league. Adelaide, massive win, 3-0 at home over Melbourne Victory. Melbourne Victory struggling. Flying high.
Thank you so much, Adelaide United. We thought the thumping of Melbourne Victory last week, the 4-0 win over the Newcastle Jets, played themselves back into form.
Nope.
Adelaide, thank you so much.
Heroes. Craig Goodwin, thank you. And Ibasuki, thank you. Carl Viet,
thank you.
Thank you. What a
Adelaide United fans at Cooper Stadium. Thank you. The atmosphere was
the Red
incredible.
Army. What we could listen to on TV
was fantastic.
Yeah, there was
the
red everywhere.
The atmosphere of that game, fantastic.
Yeah, another great advertisement for football, and I'm sure the Adelaide Channel 9 was probably bitching about Melbourne Victory fans, within reason.
Melbourne Victory fans. Let us carry on as you were.
Yeah, that's just part and parcel. But what a great game. What a great way to start the week. We went on to Saturday, the game before the main game, the main event, the pre-card. Newcastle at home to Melbourne City. Melbourne City coming away with a 2-1 win. Good performance from Newcastle. Bucked the trend from their 4-1 defeat to Melbourne Victory the week before, but still met. Melbourne City are just too good. Way too good.
Newcastle goalkeeper Weir going on a little adventure and missing the ball completely to open the scoring for Manchester City before...
I'm sorry, what?
Sorry, City? Melbourne City. I am very tired. I'm very tired in also on top of the world. We've actually swapped places. We didn't talk about this before, but Ultra saw Jamie Brown in Armidale and me in Sydney.
Yes.
I'm currently in Armidale.
And I am in Cronulla. So, yeah, we've kind of just switched it up for the day. But
Yeah, because we thought about winning for once and you guys, well, no, you still would lose. Melbourne City opening the scoring after a goalkeeping error. But Scotty Jamieson, what a volley.
I can't believe he's still doing things like that. He's
so old.
Yeah. Ex-Sydney boy. I thought he was done 3 years ago, but he just keeps playing and he's a leader for that team. I think he's their captain. So
their captain.
They're a really good squad. In a game where the likes of McLaren, Naboo, Lecky don't score, they still get it from somewhere, which is really bad for the rest of the league. But moving on.
McLaren did score. Thank you.
Oh, he's got the first one.
Scott Jamieson scored an own goal.
Did he?
He did. He scored Newcastle's goal.
I don't watch the highlights.
Cross came in. Scotty Jamieson volley into the top corner. Oh. Unfortunately, it's his own net.
Okay.
But Jamie McLaren sealing the 2-1 win for Melbourne City. But yes, we move on to the main game, the main fixture.
Should we do, no, I'm going to hold that one off to the end because I think we've got some things to say about this one.
Are you hoping that the longer this show goes on, the more likely it is that the result was wrong?
No, I got a different spin on it that's going to blow your fucking mind. It'll probably make you laugh as well. But
wait to hear this. We move on to
Sunday games. So Wellington Phoenix at home to Western United. Western United picking up their first win for the year, 3-2, coming back from 2-0 down. Diamante with a phenomenal goal. Priovic doing what he does best, and that's score goals. And the Knicks just falling away at the end. But it was good to see the Yellow Army got their shirts off regardless because they were ahead in the 80th minute. They still lost the game. So preemptive, bit premature that one. But, you know, it's a New Zealand thing, I guess.
It's a premature de-shirting.
Yeah. Premature celebration, unfortunately for them. But the last game on the Sunday saw the Mariners at home to the Bulls. Shock horror, the Bulls actually won a game. Mariners played really well. Early goal cost them. Red card. I want to say dubious, but they're consistent with that call, so I can't really complain. But the Bulls 3-2 win with, what was it, Jed someone? Someone's going to get angry when I don't remember his name. But
I literally wrote it down too.
He's an ex-Sydney FC kid as well, which is the worst freaking thing. But yeah, Jed. Something scored that. No, it's not Brown. I'd be celebrating one of my cousin's achievements if it was. Hey, all Browns are my cousins. That's what I'm going with. So
you're a clown.
I'm trying to find it because we've got to give him his props. It was his debut when he scored the winner. So huge effort for him. There are no results to display on the website at the moment, but so that's kind of a shock. But yeah, Jed something scored the winning goal.
Jed Drew,
that's it.
It's a man with two first names, except one of them's not a first name.
Yeah, his first name's not actually a real first name, but someone's going to be quite angry that I forgot that name. But he's next Sydney guy. I forget about them when they leave, unless they actually go on to do good things, which I guess this guy kind of is. But
like Milos Ninkovic, Callum
Newman. I think the...
Van der Sar.
Van der Sar's the one that heard the most, but Joel King, Callum Talbot, Marco Tilio, Tulips himself. But I think the best goal out of this one was Garen Kuol. You are a magician, my friend. And
has picked the right time to get into form.
I look forward to him going over to Newcastle and absolutely bossing the Premier League. He is going to be – he'll probably start in the Championship for the rest of the season, but he has such a high ceiling, and I can't wait for it. Nick Montgomery.
Eddie Howe will get the best of him too.
Absolutely, yeah. He's a young man's coach, so – Nick Montgomery, friend of the show, what you've done with these young players that you've sent overseas, Alu Kuol, Garen Kuol, Liam Farrell. There's another one. He started for them last year. I can't remember. Lewis, I think it is. He's also playing overseas at the moment. You're just bringing through these superstars and they go on to a massive thing. Kai Rolls is also another one playing for Hearts, I believe, with Cammy Devlin and Nathan Daniel Atkinson. So keep doing it, Nick. I know it's not really helping England, but hey, it's helping Australia and that's only a good thing for the league down here. So
isn't he Scottish?
Yes, he is. So it's not helping Scotland. In fact, we're stealing players from Scotland.
You are an idiot. Big thing I want to talk about in both the Sunday fixtures are winning goals after the 90 minutes are up.
Yeah. Yeah. Jed Drews and Diamantis. Yeah.
93rd and 95th minute.
I mean, yet again, another week of goals. It's not 26 like it was last week, but 10 in two games. You know. 17 goals, I believe it is. So in five games, that's huge. It's exactly what we want to see.
It's on average. That's what we like to see. But yes, Jamie Brown, now we get into the penultimate game of the round, which was the Saturday night highlight, the fixture, the headlining act, the Sydney Derby. There's only two every year.
Three.
Is there?
I thought we played three times every year. No, two away, one at home, yeah.
Well, we only win two, so I'd only care two because we always lose.
Well, maybe
third.
Not this year. Maybe you might win three. But this is my spin on this one. We won the Sydney Derby 3 weeks ago. That's all that matters. We beat McArthur 3-2 away. That's the Sydney Derby. That's all that matters. It's the only one that matters.
You're a funny man.
Irrelevant. We don't even really bother with them, you know.
You know what's funny? Even on this, we have actual audio footage on this show of you calling it an inconvenience and the Derby doesn't matter.
Literally like 5 minutes ago.
There's only one derby that matters, Sydney Derby.
I did cry myself to sleep that night and had to work the next day. So it definitely means a lot more than the inconvenience. But
what a game.
As a game, probably not the most entertaining. Not a lot of great chances. You probably had the most of them. Ninkovic missing that one-on-one with Redmayne was probably the best thing that happened for us.
My heart sank when that happened. The headlines were written. It was already there, front page
If
news.
We won that game.
That was it. front page.
But it gets forgotten now. That,
no, it doesn't matter. Because he got the assist
anyway. Yeah, he, you know, it's irrelevant to the way the story went. He missed that, but no one will remember. All I remember is his run and his pass to Cassini Yenge and that phenomenal goal in front of the RBB. And yeah, the only good thing we had to celebrate on the night was that miss, and we celebrate it like we scored, but you know.
Let's pretend we scored a goal. Yeah.
Everything around that game was the atmosphere. Mark Rudin in the press conference after pretty much said, you know, yes, I'm on the winning end of this, but that's what derbies are all about. The passion in the stands, the physicality on the pitch was amazing. That little scuffle towards the end. I mean, Bratton was going to do that. You know, that's a foul. That's a professional foul. Yellow card, no worries. I like to see, it was the only fight we showed the entire game, so it was good to see that we actually had some passion, but, you know, we lost. I'll eat my humble pie. And Wanderers beat us. They're probably the better team this season anyway. We just don't have a fucking clue when it comes to our backline. We have got an amazing goalkeeper who's going off to a World Cup. But other than that, not a lot going on in that backline.
No, and one thing I did want to notice about the Wanderers, coming off the bench for his first game since his preseason injury, Yeni Bokoto replacing goal scorer Kasuni Yenge. That man looks very good. If that's him after five weeks off and only playing for 5 minutes, when he gets more game time, we are in for a treat. That man is phenomenal. The only really downside I have from this game, I'll talk about another question in Hot Topics later, but the one thing I want to know is how many fouls does Ryan Grant have to make before he gets a yellow card?
He can make as many as he wants. That man is a legend.
That man is no good at football.
Forever be treasured. Not anymore, he's not, but he used to be. He's earned that. My thing was Caceres was more physical than I've ever seen him play. Every time Ninkovic got the ball, he was all over him, grabbing his shirt, shouldering him, kicking him in the legs. I mean, the prick deserved it. But, you know, he still did. I think he didn't get a yellow card till just before he went off. So,
but I counted 4 professional fouls from Ryan Grant and he still didn't get a card.
Makes sense. It's probably on par for him, to be honest. If you watch us every game, he makes a lot of those fouls. He's a step behind in his pace, so as soon as he gets beat, he just drags him down. So some refs give him, some refs don't. I did like that he sort of let the play flow.
There he were a let lot of times a lot of it flow, but when Nieuwenhof makes one challenge, gets a yellow card, and Ryan Grant has already made 4 and doesn't.
Nieuwenhof made a fair few more than just one challenge when he got that yellow. One I was waiting
challenge.
For it.
One good
one
challenge.
Actually... strong challenge, but like I was waiting for it. I mean, honest to God, if you want to look at players that left us to play for you guys, Ninkovic, yeah, it's a big loss, but Nieuwenhof
does
game.
Not get talked about enough.
Season. No, but, no, he was overshadowed, but he was amazing in that game and he's been great for you all year. He's way bigger loss than Ninkovic.
Oh, and my favorite part of the Mark Rudin press conference after, obviously, Porter brought up, it's all about Ninkovic, but you also snagged Callum Nieuwenhof in the offseason. How hard was it to get him off Sydney FC? And he goes, very easy.
Yeah, because fucking Corica couldn't identify young talent if it slapped him in the face. It's unbelievable. Like, I think I commented about it somewhere about all the players that we've lost because of Corica, and it's just amazing. These players are starting in other teams around the league and we couldn't identify that were good. Marco Tilio, unlucky to not be going to the World Cup, is probably one of the best players in that Melbourne City team. Harry Van der Sar
is not
killing it for Adelaide.
For the A-League.
No, absolutely.
Marco Tilio,
Callum Talbot. Callum Talbot having an amazing season down at Melbourne City. We let him go because we had Joel King, who we knew we were selling to Odense in Norway. The just lack of foresight from Danny Townsend before he left and the terrible ability for Corica to identify talent. Something is rotten at the club at that level. We had an amazing NPL team. Yes, we've kept some of the good players like Paddy Wood, Jaden Kacharski, Adrian Segacic, Yazbek, and those guys. But this team could be all academy players right now if we'd identified the talent. We could have Tilio lead in that attack, and, you know, basically replacing Ninkovic when he left this year, we could have. It's sad to talk about.
Not but, for yeah. me. Hey, I'm loving my life at the moment.
Well done.
Absolutely loving life at the moment. But there was, as Jamie said, thank you. I'll eat. At the end of the day, Derby win is fantastic. But as I said, I've got to hand it to Sydney FC and the Cove and the atmosphere. It made that night so much better.
We have 2 amazing stadiums for these derbies. Bankwest or Combank is just as good as Allianz, and it lends itself to amazing derby atmospheres. And I can't wait till we travel out there. I think it's early January, I'm pretty sure. It might be actually early February, but I can't wait.
It's early February because I'll be back.
Yeah, 11th of February, sorry. It's before my birthday. So I'm really excited for that one. But we've got ourselves set up. We've got 2 amazing stadiums with safe standing areas sucked in Melbourne, and it lends itself to amazing derby atmosphere.
The one thing I want to kind of push for this at Bankwest as well. when we know we're going to have a derby. Obviously, the Cove have safe standing.
Yeah.
We have safe, the RBB has safe standing at CommBank. Look, we know they're going to be there in numbers.
Oh, yeah. You better
believe it. Maybe just allow a safe standing at the other end as well.
It's easy to do. You just simply take the seats out and put it in. It's very interchangeable. They do it for rugby league because, you know, look, they don't have passion, so they don't stand up. But it's I can't imagine it being that hard or costly to do. I think it's a great idea.
Look, especially when it's just common sense, really. Like, yeah. Sydney FC, when the Cove are going to be there in numbers for the next Sydney Derby.
Oh, yeah.
We were there in numbers this time. Like, just give us that same area. Like, and this shit doesn't happen, like the vandalism and all that. Most of the chairs that were broken are all accidental. No one actually goes in there and breaks chairs because they feel like it. The first
Unless
chair that
Melbourne
was
Victory
broken,
fans.
Correct. The first chair that was broken was because someone sat in it.
Yeah, they don't. Like sitting on the sideline for the Victory game, they don't look like great seats to
me. No, they're not, because they are not. Because they're meant to be interchangeable.
Yeah.
You wouldn't believe it. That's the point of them. Most stadiums have chairs bolted to the concrete stair that they're on or whatever.
Yep.
These ones are just clipped onto a rail that literally are meant to be popped off and replaced. So
yeah,
that when someone
way,
gets damaged or broken, they just go, oh, new one. Tunk.
Yeah, we used to stand on the chairs at the old Allianz and they were strong as hell, but I wouldn't be doing that on these ones. And
no.
I saw you guys doing it and I was like, that's risky,
oh,
man.
Scary. Very scary.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love this. I love the safe standing, but that is a great, great thing to have in this country. But
it's deserved. It's what we all need. But as Jamie said, 17 goals scored in 5 games, but there can only be one goal of the week.
Oh my goodness! Oh my goodness!
And shout out to Riley McGree, who that sound bit is from, scoring another banger for Middlesbrough.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. For the weekend. But Jamie Brown, this A-League men's goal of the week for round 6 goes to.
So I'm going to start it with an honourable mention. Garen Kuol. Unbelievable goal from that tight of an angle. If you haven't seen it, go check out the highlights or the mini match, or hell, watch the whole game. It was very entertaining. For Jared's perspective and the importance of the goal and what it brought, Cassini Yangi, amazing finish against Sydney FC. Great goal, honourable mention. But goal of the week for me can only go to one man, Alessandro Diamanti for West United, getting them their first win in New Zealand, their first win of the season, and in the 94th minute or something like that to win the game for West United. It was an amazing free kick. If he hit it any more to the left, it gets saved. Any more to the right, he misses. Fantastic placement, but we expect nothing less from Alessandro.
Look, we said this a couple of weeks ago. Free kicks generally will score well, but technique is what it is, and this was an absolute fantastic goal. Yes, Garen Kuol's tight angle, fantastic finish. Kasuni Yengi, more for me, the assist. The fact that Milos Nikovic could pick himself up after missing it minutes prior, and that amazing run through the middle of the park to then assist Kasuni Yangi on his first goal for the Western Sydney Wanderers in such an important time. And it was a cracking finish, beating two defenders and then lacing it into the top corner. Amazing. But Diamanti's technique, what it means for the club, and the time he did it, phenomenal. And the fact that Jamie's picked it, even though them now climbing off the bottom of the ladder, is not looking good for Jamie and his vindication. Although it is, because he said they'll be 10th.
I said 10th, yeah. It's, so, if not, it's anything better for my vindication. So it works well for me.
Oh, but no, well done, Alessandro Diamanti. It's what we expect from a man of such class like him. And that was a fantastic goal for this week.
Absolutely. Very. I mean, we haven't really had a bad goal of the week all season so far. 6 match weeks in and they've all been absolute crackers. So
yeah.
Yeah. This is the first time we've actually done honourable mentions, but to be fair.
We always do honourable mentions, but what I'm really excited about, Jamie, we haven't gone to the infamous wheel yet, and that's always a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, we haven't
had the infamous wheel.
Yeah, that's it. Roll the dice. Who do we get? Who's the goal of the week? Is it a penalty? Is it an own goal? Which it could have been this week. Phenomenal volley. But
shout out to Scott Jamieson. What a goal that was. But look, we're going to move on. To after Jamie Spray, the second most important segment of the show, it is Hot Topics. And we're going to start it off with, I'm going to ask you a question, Jamie Brown. How long until Steve Corica gets the sack? Because that is a topic that is on a lot of people's minds at the moment. 7 points from 6 games, so 7 points of a possible 18. You are currently only just in the top 6, barring goal difference to Melbourne Victory, another bitter rival of yours. But Yeah, struggle street for Sydney FC. How long can he last?
It's tough because I'll be honest, I probably would like him gone now. It's hard to say. He is a club legend. We aren't doing anywhere near as bad as I think a lot of our fans thought we would be. But the bottom line for me is our two most important games so far this season, and we have both lost, and they have both been at home. We wanted to turn the new stadium into a fortress like the old Allianz used to under Graham Arnold. We have 1 point from 9 games. We have won two on the road.
Nine
points, yeah. We have won an all-important Sydney derby at MacArthur, obviously one of the most important games we play all season. We beat West United down there. We were embarrassed by Brisbane Roar, who I don't think are very good. But reports coming out of the club and from those inside and those at the top brass is that, you know, we are missing Wilkinson, our captain. We are missing marquee signing Jack Rodwell, who I legitimately don't think will play a game all year. And they are giving him time for those to come back and see what happens when they do. I don't think Wilkinson makes a difference. I'd be pushing on with either Donicky and Vastalika in the centre back line or Gerd and Vastalika, because I don't think Donicky's even that great. I mean, he's doing the best he can in the circumstances, but I think their plan, the way it seems to me, is Alan Stajic is contracted to the Philippines until after the Women's World Cup because it is in Australia. He will want to take them to that World Cup. I think he'll want to focus everything on it. I think we will keep Steve Corica on for the remainder of the season, regardless of whether or not we make the finals. We're not going to come close to winning the league. I don't think we'll make the finals, to be honest. I think there's too much wrong there. I think they will sack him when that happens. They will wait until after the World Cup to approach Alan Stajic, and I think he will be the future Sydney FC manager. If that doesn't happen, because it is an off-season, we will be able to go to Fu Fictale. I don't think he's the type of guy who will leave a team halfway through a season when he's built a squad, but I think those are the two options. I think he's gone. It's just not going to be till the end of the season, unfortunately. We've got a whole year of this crap.
Well, I'm gonna say, yeah, I agree with you that star signing, who was all over the posters, Jack Rodwell, he won't be playing a game for you this year because he won't be back by come New Year. But yeah, like what I was led to believe, or what I'd been reading as well, that he was going to be sacked at the World Cup break, barring a points like agreement.
Yep.
And apparently he's below that points agreement. But only time will tell. I think if you are going to sack someone, now is the time. You're a month off football. Get someone in, exactly. Train with the boys.
The problem
is, if you're not going to sack him now, don't sack him later in the year because you don't have the time to then rebuild. If you're going to sack him, now's the time. A month of rebuilding. If not, he's all yours for the season, and I feel sorry for you.
Yeah, the injuries are the ones that they're talking about. It's like if he had these players, it might be different. You're right. He was given a points tally, and we are not at that. We also have lost massive games, and derbies are important. You know, I'd happily beat you in victory. That'd be the only wins we have all year. You know, those 6 wins and not make the finals as long as we beat you guys. But
derby, I think the injuries have helped him.
Yeah, that's more important. In a new stadium. We couldn't even christen the new stadium with a win in the blue. Couldn't beat Adelaide even though we're up a man. And we couldn't beat you guys even though you guys were just as bad as we were the week before. It's a whole season. They're not going to do it now. There's no one that you can bring in. Like, pick a name that could come in mid-season to turn this team around.
Steven Gerrard.
I mean, yes, I would absolutely take that. I don't think they're going to go for it, but I'm pretty confident Alan Stajic will be the next Sydney FC manager when Corica is removed. It just won't be until the end of the season.
Yeah, look, as much as that pains me and the fact that Alan Stajic is a very, very good manager,
mm-hmm.
I kind of agree. I think he will be the next Sydney FC manager when they finally give Corica the boot, as they should have done a long time ago.
Last season when we didn't make the finals would have been a good time to do it. But, you know, it is what it is. You guys are happy, but you get to play a Sydney FC team that's terrible two more times this year.
So excited.
Yeah, I was talking to a really good friend on the walk over to the game with the Cove, an ex-legend of the Cove, and he had zero confidence in us coming away with a win. He said, if we can get away with a 1-0 win, I'll be very happy. He goes, I think it's going to be 3-4-0. We don't have a defense. We can't hold them to a clean sheet. We don't really have any direction as a style of play. He was very, you know, downhearted. He thinks it's going to be a tough season. He did comment after the game about those exact points, and he's right. He's 1,000% right. We don't have a tactical style. Graham Arnold left. Corica took over from that style, and he hasn't been able to rejig it or re-improve it to make it something that teams can't figure out. And it's going to be a long season. Enjoy your 3 derby wins this year, but we will be back next season.
Back stronger.
I mean, just Yeah, hopefully. But I mean, if we can jag a draw against you guys away and then maybe win the last derby at home, I'll take that as a positive from the season. But I mean, I'm going to that away derby, but I am dreading what's going to happen on that football field. Unless Jack Rodwell's back.
No.
I look forward to TIFOs about Jack Rodwell.
No, you wouldn't believe it. We don't give a fuck.
I know. People trying to build that up like, oh, an ex-Wanderer playing for Sydney. Jack Rodwell played, what, 7 games, 11 games maybe?
Something like 14 out of 25 maybe, and most of them were as a sub.
Ninkovic was probably the greatest player we've ever had play for our club. Now, I say was because he's dead to us now. But he was one of the greatest. That's probably one of the greatest that's ever played in the league. I put him above Del Piero. For what he brought to the league,
name wise, Del Piero much bigger, Shinji Obviously, Ohno bigger, but what the consistency and what like class he brought to the A League, he took it a step further. What the A League was at the time, he was heading like there's a reason why he's a 2-time Johnny Warren medalist.
Exactly,
he is absolutely phenomenal. Something that Mark Rudan saw and thought was underutilized, because even as Mark Rudan said, Ninkovic. Why he was playing on the left under Corica is a mystery.
Right in the middle.
He's a genuine number 10. Genuine number 10.
1,000%.
Any more topics, Jamie? We move on. We do have a World Cup coming up. We'll be dropping very soon our World Cup preview. We have a women's A-League women's starting up that we'll be dropping again very, very soon. But we do have Matildas in action in the country. Follow-up question, Jamie. Steve Corica getting fucking not getting the sack. Did we jump the gun on Tony Gustafsson because a 4-0 win over Sweden and now a 2-0 win over Thailand? Like Thailand, yeah, but a 4-0 win over Sweden. Have we jumped the gun? Is Tony Gustafsson actually not shite?
Maybe. I think he's finally getting it because let's face it, Sweden are a very good team. They were amazing.
Number 2 in the world.
Yeah, and we absolutely pumped them. And we looked really good doing it and probably should have won by more. Caitlin Ford had a huge amount of chances. Sam Kerr had a few more chances. Mary Fowler looked good coming on. I think he's finally figured it out. We're going to have a few more friendlies before the World Cup, but I might be stepping back from the ledge when it comes to Flyer Gustafsson. I might be able to give him a few more games now because
maybe vindication for Tony Gustafsson.
Yeah, maybe he can laugh in our faces now because
I would
good.
Absolutely. I think he has actually developed a game because in his first few games as the Matildas manager, one thing was very clear. His tactical game plan was give ball Sam score goal.
Yep, it was Portugal.
We know give ball Sam and Sam no score goal, we know good football. But now he's actually building. He's utilized, like, Caitlin Ford is one of our best players. And on the left, she could be playing up front instead of Sam Kerr, but she's on the left or the right, wherever he decides to put it. And they're utilizing her more often. Merely Farrow off the bench, Claire Polkinghorne, stalwart in Matilda's defense. We are looking really good building up to a home World Cup, and I'm fucking all for it.
My confidence is growing. That Sweden game was enough for me to say, you know what? We're going to do better than I thought we were. We're going to get out of the group easily because it's not a great group, but I have. You know, the big teams in this World Cup, you know, England, obviously, the USA. I had Sweden as probably one of my favorites going into it, but, mate, we just humbled them in Australia and the World Cup's in Australia. We have a huge chance of possibly winning a World fucking Cup in this country. And, you know, if he's the man to do it, I got to come up with something that we should do if he does manage to bring this World Cup. And we should do something absolutely humiliating because of what we've said about him in the past.
I mean, I have ideas, but this is a family show, so I'm not going to be saying it.
Yeah.
But what I want to say as well, big shout out to both Melbourne and the Central Coast.
Yeah.
Amazing crowds and an amazing atmosphere for friendlies of women's football.
Yep. Against lesser nations, you know. It's not America, it's not England, it's not Spain. It's, you know... Sweden, who a lot of people wouldn't realize how strong they are, and Thailand's like, who cares?
Thailand, who aren't technically gifted at football, but still an international friendly. We still come away with a win and a clean sheet, and the way women's football in this country is growing is absolutely outstanding. It's probably the fastest growing sport in the world, women's football.
Oh, absolutely. Look at what the Euros was like.
It's incredible to watch. It's so good to see. We're starting to see the crowd numbers equaling what the men's game has been bringing. Yeah.
Especially in the WSL in England.
All for it. not just England. I can't wait. Women's World Cup coming up next year. We got the A-League Women starting up very shortly. I cannot wait to see the crowd numbers. Because let's face it, we've got no A-League Men's to be going to. Absolutely, we're going to the W League.
I'm going to Manly Cromer Park in 2 weeks' time to watch the Big Blue in the women's, you know. Soon to be friend of the show, Casey DeMont, the Melbourne Victory goalkeeper, up against my Sydney FC, a team that actually wins in Sky Blue. I am all for this. And everyone who's listening right now, go out and watch your local team. Adelaide are going to be really good this year. Melbourne Victory are looking for a three-peat. You got a new team in West United with Chloe Legazzo back in the country. She's a Matilda superstar. This is going to be a huge... I mean, we talked about it before we came back for this show. This is going to be a huge 18 months for us. This is a huge 18 months for women's football. You looked at what the Euros in England were, where you were getting record crowds at Wembley for games that didn't feature England, to go into the Women's Super League and how that's grown. Arsenal getting 80,000 at capacity of that stadium, but, you know, selling out the Emirates for a women's game. Let's carry it on to the World Cup. And I'm telling you, if you haven't bought your tickets now to the games, get on it, because...
There are some fantastic packages to get around.
Yeah.
I believe there's a seven-game package for Allianz Stadium, and Sydney Football Stadium, as it's called, because obviously it's not going to be sponsored by Allianz. And there, I believe, is a four-game package for the Olympic Stadium, so ANZ.
Which I think Telstra includes stadium. The grand final, doesn't it?
I believe it does include the grand final. Do not quote us on that. We do say a lot of things. Don't quote us on that one.
A lot of it's wrong, but...
Correct. That's what we're here for. But I do believe that four games includes the grand final.
I mean, I've got leave off over the World Cup. I will be watching England play at Allianz, Sydney Football Stadium. I'll be watching them. I'm going up to Brisbane to watch them play in Brisbane. And I think their last game is either in Adelaide or Melbourne. I think I'll be heading down there for that. So,
what about some of the Matildas, mate?
I'm watching the Matildas.
Good man.
These are just group games. You know, I think the Matildas play in Sydney, I'm pretty sure. I'll be there at that one. I think their next game's in Melbourne. If I can get down there for that one, I'll try and get down there for that one. But yeah, this is... I mean, I fully expect the Matildas to get through the next stage. So be ready to buy the tickets when they're in the knockouts, because they're going to go hot. This is going to be, you know, we've talked about, we talk just as much about the Matildas and the women's league as we do against with the men's, but this is going to be huge for women's football. Women's football in general, like the participation at the grassroots level to a rep level, now to a domestic league level, is getting higher and stronger and bigger than ever. And this World Cup is going to be massive for it. I cannot wait for us to showcase the women's game on the world stage and watch Channel 9 and 2GB try and bring it down.
Because I tell you what, they try and bring down women's football, misogynists.
Get rid of them. And we all know that they already are. So I can't wait for it. This is such a big 18 months for football in Australia. That's why rugby league fans are scared, because the profile is going to grow through the roof.
But we definitely
did jump the gun on Gustavo. It would appear.
But you know what's the best part about this show, Jamie Brown? We started off so angry. Now here we are laughing because we're so excited about the growth of football. It just makes us feel so good.
Just the women's game. I mean, I have a daughter. She doesn't play football. I'd love for her to play football. But just for girls to get that opportunity to go and make this their job. Like, you look at the Matildas that are playing over in England now, and it's their full-time job. It's awesome to see. And, I mean, we have the best in the world. That's the pinnacle of what we're showcasing to the world. We have Sam Kerr. Some people would say if she was any other nationality other than Australian, she would have won back-to-back Ballon d'Ors. But
we're saying it, but okay.
Yeah, the voters are corrupt, and she'll win it next year because she's going to bring corruption over the World Cup for them.
In FIFA? Surely not.
As hard as it is to believe.
Unbelievable.
I think there is some.
Don't quote us.
Allegedly.
Corruption in FIFA.
Corruption, yeah.
Shock I'll speak to my lawyers. Look, Matilda's...
Oh, there's my phone ringing now. Fuck.
Look, Matilda's two friendlies, two wins, fantastic. Yeah. Socceroos have landed in Qatar, in Doha, for their World Cup preparations. But some Socceroos abroad, Riley McGree, what a banging goal that was for Middlesbrough. We mentioned it earlier in the show, but holy Jesus, what a goal. When you want a man to hit form, now's the time. He's going to Qatar. He's scoring bangers. We're in for a good time.
I mean, we talk about Alu Kuol hitting form. Riley McGree's playing really good for Middlesbrough right now, and that goal was just perfect. Perfect placement, perfect positioning, perfect control. If you haven't seen it, check it out. Just, you know, go into Fox Sports or Kaio and watch the EFL highlight show. It's always good. But, yeah, it's a phenomenal goal. He is – what a time to catch form. And Harry Suter played 90 minutes for Stoke.
This is fantastic news. Do you know what is absolute goals as well? Jackson Irvine arriving in Qatar with the world's best mullet, the world's best mo, and a vintage Mark Viduka Celtic jersey.
That drip that man has. He is the coolest man on the planet. Plays for my St. Pauli. killing it over there. Going to kill it for the Socceroos.
If the World Cup is won on style, we've already won.
We've already got it. Mate, taking it home. See you later.
We're paying $250 to one to win this World Cup. Put everything on it. Yep. Especially when a man like Jackson Irvine is rocking up to Qatar like that.
Yeah, and you know they're focused. Speaking of the team sheet, anyone that you think should have been included that wasn't? I mean, there's the big glaring obvious one. After his mistake on the weekend, Dani Vukovic is somehow going to the World Cup when Mitch Langerak will be sitting at home. That, to me, is a crime.
I mean, how I kind of skipped over this massive announcement made last week after our show, and we kind of almost skipped over it on this show. The World Cup squad was announced.
I've got it on my sheet, so I wasn't going to miss it, trust me.
Oh, well, do you want to read out the World Cup squad, and then we can dissect it?
Give me a minute. I got to go to our Facebook page because we did share it on the show. So, you know,
I'm pretty sure I angry reacted it as well because I'm very angry.
It's amazing that Langerak's not in there. We have been sharing a few memes. Check those out. Make sure you like them and share them. They're pretty hilarious.
Jamie Brown stepping up his meme game.
Yeah, I'm trying to promote the show a lot more.
Best part is the memes about Sydney FC. Fantastic stuff. But the Socceroos squad for Qatar, please, Jamie Brown.
It is in alphabetical order because for some reason I did that. But it's Nathaniel Atkinson of Hearts, Keanu Backus of Hearts, Aziz Beich of Dundee, Martin Boyle of Hibernian, Jason Cummings of the Mariners. The Cum Dingo is capped. Milos Deganek of somewhere, Thomas Deng of... I can't remember the country. He's in South Korea, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. Had an amazing season over there. Cam Devlin, Mitch Duke for some reason. Craig Goodwin, absolutely justified. Aiden Hrustic, Jackson Irvine, the King of Cool. Fran Karacic, we mentioned him on the show a couple of weeks ago. Very deserving. Joel King, kind of a surprise for me. Garen Kuol, absolutely. Matthew Leckie, another home-based guy. Arwa Mobile of FC Midgetland. Jamie McClary, killing it in the A-League yet again this season. Riley McGree, the man of the week. Aaron Moy, I guess that's a good move. Andrew Redmayne, Sydney FC's. The Pasty Pele, the Yellow Wiggle, the Grey Wiggle, Andrew Redmayne, Peru's most hated man. Kai Rolls, who's having a great season for Hearts as well. Matt Ryan, absolutely justified number one, even though he hasn't been starting much. Harry Suter, thank you that the big man is there. Bailey Wright, he's been pretty solid. And Dani Vukovic for some reason. And Mitchell Langerak, I can't see his name, but you know.
All right. One thing I'm going to say. That's weird. You said Mitchell Duke, why? I'll tell you why. Man has been killing it in Japan. And the one thing I will say about Mitchell Duke as a striker, the one thing
he's so old.
He's not that old.
But he is. He's older than me, and that's old.
But you're old, and you're right.
Yeah.
But the one thing he does that I'd say most of our strikers do not, the man hustles.
He does have a good work rate.
He hustles. He bullies defenders when they've got the ball. And when you've got teams like France, Denmark, who have very good defenders, and you've got a man like Mitchell Duke, who's just an absolute animal hunting them down. That bloke's got an absolute engine. He will run all game if he played 90 minutes. But he won't.
I mean, who leads the line in game one?
Jamie McClaren.
You think not the cum dog?
No, Jamie McClaren.
Garen Kuol out the right. Matthew Leckie on the left. Or Riley McGree just sitting in behind, maybe. Jackson Irvine holding that midfield down.
Garang off the bench. Leckie and Mabil to start.
Mabil, yeah, I'm totally forgetting him. Probably the best player we've got over there, actually.
Pasty Perlo in the middle. I'd say Jackson Irvine.
Irvine's going to be there, yeah.
Yep, absolutely. Then I may say Riley McGree or possibly even Cam Devlin killing it. Keanu Backus' involvement in the squad, surprising but honestly well-deserved.
He's been great for St. Mirren, man. Yeah. Honestly, I'm a Buddies fan, and he's been fantastic. I'm disappointed Ryan Strain didn't get the call-up. I thought he was good in the New Zealand games, and he's been great he scored a banger of a free kick a couple of weeks back for St. Mirren. But, you know, the defense probably isn't where the problem is for us. It was the attack. But I think he's got it right, to be honest.
The thing is, there are two names that are missing from this list that I would put there, but I don't know who I would take out for one of them.
That's the hard thing, right?
Yeah. Okay, the obvious one... Dani Vukovic, fuck off.
Yep.
Language. And I'm gonna counter you here. I don't believe Matty Ryan should be number one.
Well, if Langerak's there,
if
he
Langerak's
should be number
there,
one.
Langerak is number one.
But of these three, it's got to be
Matt
him.
Ryan. And the big argument is he has taken Matt Ryan and Redmayne, who is generally he's a standard number three for our nation. He's can make the big saves, but his stature for penalties. Is why he's there.
That's the only reason, absolutely.
Dani Vukovic is a genuine number four.
Yeah, I mean, we saw his mistake for the Mariners on the weekend. It was absolutely horrible.
Danny Vukovic.
Mitch Langerak had,
Danny Vukovic 3-4 years ago when he was at the Sydney FC.
At Genk. Or at Genk.
At Genk. Yeah, at Genk, 100%. Yeah. He's probably even a genuine number two behind Matt Ryan, who was in form. But how Mitch Langerak doesn't get the call up, but I can understand, like, the rumors is it's so Matt Ryan doesn't feel any pressure. It's a fucking World Cup. You're playing for your nation. You deserve, you need pressure. Look at 2006. Mark Schwarzer is our best goalkeeper. He's number one for us.
Yep.
And then we put in the spider for the third game against Croatia.
Because tactically it just worked better.
That's what you need. Yep. And the spider, no, genuine number two.
Absolutely. His whole career was number two. And I don't think he'd argue with that.
No.
But
Mitch Langerak in his current form and the fact that Matt Ryan cannot play consistent football, and when he has been playing not the best, he started his career in Copenhagen fantastically, has dipped in form, and now he's standing, can't even get minutes for Copenhagen. And the goalkeeper who's number one at Copenhagen can't even go to a World Cup.
Yeah, Grabara. Not good. Not good. Doesn't get picked.
Mitch Langerak is a two-time Nagoya Grampus Player of the Season. He is... broken his own record from a number of clean sheets in the J-League season. He has to be our number one.
And he's played in pressure situations. He was a Dortmund player. Nagoya Grampus, a Giants in Japan. I don't understand
the J-League
how he's not there.
Is so disciplined. It's unbelievable.
Yep. I honestly
and how
can't.
He has not been picked is... Graham Arnold, fuck off. Get out. No good.
But I mean, he got it right everywhere else.
Somewhat.
Really?
All right. I could say that. The only other player I'd have in there could be Adam Taggart, killing it again. But I don't know who to take out for him.
Yeah, well, you got McLaren, Cumdog, Duke. You take out, like, maybe it... Honestly, I...
I don't know. It baffles me.
All of that. Martin Boyle's been phenomenal since he's gone back to Hibs. Riley McGree's hitting form, and he's been generally good, even though Middlesbrough haven't.
Can we take 27?
There's not a name... an extra man?
Yeah.
If they could take 27, it would probably be a fourth goal. Surely we should be able to, right?
Have a couple
of guys on standby, which would probably be those two. Because Adam Taggart, since you don't hear much about him, but he is killing it in Asia. Like, but, you know.
This is why we're not selectors. And when we get knocked out in the group stage, 0-3, we'll look back on for some vindication. Graham Arnold, you were no good the first time. You're no good the second time. Why?
I mean, Daniel Arzani didn't even get picked, and I feel like he's been pretty good for the Bulls this year. So, but again, who do you take out?
I wouldn't have picked him. No. Not a chance.
Tilio's the same. You know, Graham Arnold basically said you need to leave City to get some game time. He didn't, and he's paid the price. But I mean, he's still going to win an A-League title this year, so you can hold that up. I'm pretty disappointed. I'm not surprised, but I'm disappointed Volpato didn't go. I get why he's not. I totally understand it. We didn't identify him here.
Roma found him. Christian Valpardo, he was in the 26 up until the last minute, until
who
he said
in
no
for him.
Who did we pick instead? But
who's the 27th man? But
that is a hot topic. We should probably talk about Christian Valpardo. Has said no to the Socceroos,
not permanently, but
correct because
he has said not for the World Cup because he wants to focus. He's a young player and he wants to focus on his development at Roma. And while I get it, he is at a giant club in Italy.
And has
I feel like a
heritage.
World Cup would, yeah, which he'll probably end up playing for Italy. But I mean, they're not at the World Cup either, so it's not like you could choose. But it would be nice to have him there, secured as a Socceroo, really good player. He's doing great things off the bench for Roma. He says he's too young. You know, we got a lot of young players going there. Garen Quall's, I mean,
the
there's
second,
a lot of Alu Quall.
The second youngest at the World Cup, Garen Quall.
Yeah, like going there, you know, I think for him it's probably better for his career as he goes into going over to the Premier League, but I can't see how going to a World Cup with your country, playing some of the best players in the world, he would definitely get game time, isn't going to help your development, especially when your league's on a break. It's not like you're missing games in Roma. But, you know, Mourinho was pretty happy that he didn't go, but I don't think he's going to play for the Socceroos.
Not a chance.
I think he's taken that first chance of qualifiers for the European Championships. He's taken that offer from Italy, and he will get it because they're in shambles at the moment, and he's gone. Much like all the Croatian players in the past, much like Cristiano Ronaldo, they do not want to play for the Socceroos.
I mean, Cristiano Ronaldo can't play for the Socceroos because he's never lived in Australia. The chance he could have.
Yeah, because his grandparents lived here, but yeah.
And he was chance he moved over. I mean,
let's another go Christian back. Italian that's not coming to play for the Socceroos. Christian Vieri, Christian Popata.
I was literally just about to say Christian Vieri. He was born in Italy, but grew up in Sydney's West.
Yeah, Sydney's West.
His brother Sydney
United
played for
player,
us.
Was he not?
He was.
Yeah.
His brother played for the Socceroos.
But he chose the Italy better Vieri and, did not.
And he chose Italy and he starred for Italy.
For a long time. So. Yeah. He won the World Cup in 06 with them, did he not? He was in that squad?
No, he was well before 06.
I was going to say, it would have been right on the borderline. 02 might have been his last World Cup.
I believe it was.
Still.
Because I believe he played in the 80s in Sydney.
Is he that old? Fuck.
I believe he is that old.
I guess maybe, I'm getting pretty old myself.
You are very old,
my
friend.
I remember him as a young person, so. Yeah, very old. God damn it.
But yes, World Cup kicking off. As I said, we'll have that show out very shortly. The A-League Women's Show coming out very soon as well, because that season kicks off very soon. Do we have any more topics to go through, Jamie?
Yeah, I had three topics. Socceroos squad, Tilly Stump in Sweden, Fuck 9 and 2GB. And I think we covered all of them. So.
And I think we can end on that. Fuck 9, Fuck 2GB.
Yep.
Channel 10 and the APL, whatever. Back us, back the crowds.
Absolutely. And
not a single thing from Paramount or anything condemning crowd behavior.
And shock horror, the SCG Trust, which the 2GB guy was trying to implore them to put in some punishments and some bans. Oh, they didn't, because you know why? Because there is nothing wrong. There was no problems. There were no issues.
The fact that they called for a boycott of the next Sydney Derby shows how little they know.
It's hilarious. Wanderers only boycott their home games, all right? Not away games, home games. Oh, which is the next Sydney Derby, but it's only if their owners are terrible.
They want
and not right now.
And they wanted complete crowd ban for a Sydney Derby.
Oh,
happened
fuck
once.
Off. You know how much money comes in for that from that one game? There's three games a
and
year.
Not just for the A Leagues, but the locals around Allianz would have picked up a lot of business. The locals around Parramatta picked up a lot of business because of the pre-drinks and all that.
Our pre-game pub does more business on a game day for Sydney FC than they would any other night during the week. And I being there for a good 6 hours of it, I can definitely tell you there was a lot. They ran out of Carlton Dry, Great Northern. I think VB was even run out of it at one stage. Like, we drank them dry pre-game, let alone if we'd won and gone back post-game, but we didn't. So, but yeah, boy, behind closed doors, eat a giant bag of dicks, 2GB and Channel 9. Eat a giant bag of dicks.
Yep, I think that's how we're going to end the show. Eat a dick.
With that?
2GB, Channel 9, eat a dick. We'll see you very shortly for a World Cup show, for an A-League women's show. And because you wouldn't believe it, we've got no A-League men's to talk about for a month.
It's all women's and World Cup, man.
How exciting. Jamie Brown, it was good to see you. Up, Western Sydney Wanderers. This city is red and black. Remember that.
For now. For this year.
And for this season and probably the next.
No.
Not maybe the not the one after. But for
just
now.
This season. You get this
red
year.
And black. Fuck 2GB.